You might have felt in the last week that there was a extremely speedy energy that was everywhere around. Even if it wasn't feeling speedy, it was intense. It was pushing in various ways. It was creating an intensity. But the intensity was in a very different kind of a frequency. Now, as you know, we have spoken about the fact that there was a very great increase in the photon energy recently, that is coming from the sun. And this was causing us to float within or live within a different kind of environment externally. And that we had to adapt to that environment to maximize our evolution. Because if we resist it, what will happen? There will be a friction that will create energies that are incompatible bodily or mentally or emotionally. But on top of all of this, in the last week, there was an extremely powerful solar flare. Now, solar flares are not rare in and of themselves, and powerful solar flares are also not that rare. We have been living through geomagnetic storms all our lives. These storms of cosmic energy, specifically related to the sun and its rays, or perhaps it is mixed with other cosmic radiation. We deal with it now and then. Sometimes people get headaches, or sometimes people get sick. I know that I am personally extremely sensitive to this. And not only that, but we're having a very powerfully arriving spring here. And the trees that I'm particularly allergic to are just waking up insanely. So there's a lot of distortion in my energy field because of that. But on top of that, we got hit with a very, very powerful geomagnetic storm that arose from the solar flare just 2 days ago. And it's still reverberating. So those who are very sensitive, got sick, have trouble. And you will feel it's like something is just shearing through you, but you just try to deal with it. It's like, kind of like, I mean, if one was sensitive enough to understand it, if you're in the ocean and waves of water are coming at you and you kind of push through them. In any case, it is, I would say, symptomatic or characteristic of the physical manifestations of the changes that are going on a frequency level. because these wavelengths create the fundamental ambience within which we are familiar, within which we feel a kind of comfort in our environment on a very fundamental level. Usually we don't question it. We don't question that which is fundamental, that which we have experienced throughout our lives, that which we take for granted, that which we expect to be a certain way, and that to which we have fully adjusted. So we have accepted this ambiance of a certain kind of frequency, a certain characteristic frequency, with a certain wavelength. Yet it has been throughout the last so many years increasing in its frequency. The frequency is getting higher. But because it's very gradual, it has been very gradual, we learned how to adjust to it and to flow into that higher frequency. But during times like this past week, when extreme aberrations in that frequency and that characteristic ambiance occur, we find ourselves kind of buffeted, you know, like a sailboat would be buffeted by a sudden wind, or an airplane would be hit like a wind shear, it's called, a wind that comes from the side that causes the plane to move in a way which throws it off of its balance. It's actually, pilots know that wind shear is the most dangerous situation for a pilot, especially when it's a sudden, unexpected, hits you. Just, you fly off, your plane tilts in a very unusual way. So these winds that come from the cosmos buffet us in the same way energetically as like a wind shear or a sudden burst of air on a sailing ship. Those of us who are in contact with our energy, our energetic field, whose consciousness and awareness is expanded beyond the sensual, of the way in which our senses are bound to the organs of perception. Those who are feeling the energy of sensual capacity, in other words, the capacity to perceive beyond the physical senses, have been feeling buffeted by that wind, and it is throwing us, it is tilting us, it is causing us to feel disturbance, but on a very fundamental level. Now, there's two things we can talk about it. What effect that has in our activity, and also what kind of a person would perceive it directly in that way, and what would be perceived by somebody who doesn't have such a capacity. So let's start at the most significant level physically. For example, how we perceive with our physical senses. Now, as you know, the organs of perception, like the eyes or the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, these organs perceive because our consciousness connects to them and translates the physical signals or the physical vibrations into understandable sensations. For example, if I see something, what I'm really perceiving is photons of light, which have that amazing capacity to be both a particle and to formulate a wave. So these photons come to my eyes and are captured on the retina, which translates by its being an interface. It translates that light signal into a neurologically compatible electrical impulse or frequency that may be transmitted on that nerve, the nerve of the optic nerve that goes from the eye to the brain. And the brain takes that signal and translates it into what we call a visual sensation, where we may see images. Now, what is actually the perceiver? The eye is basically a lens. The retina just simply translates. The nerve simply transmits. The brain processes the transmission. The energy of the self is powering all of that. In fact, that perception comes or is originated in my energy. It is not entirely a physical process. By practice, by cultivation, one can see without the eye. There are persons who have cultivated remote viewing, as it's called. They sit here. They are able to project their consciousness to another place and see something there. Not in the same way you see with the eye, but it can be quite accurate. So much so, governments around the world have very sophisticated programs spying on others with remote viewers. Now, that's not just a story, by the way. I even knew somebody who was hired to do that, but that's another thing. Now, these forms of perception are different. For example, the way we see imagery with these physical eyes is very much dependent on the physical capacity of the eye. And the means by which that physical capacity is translated within the brain. The programming. Let me give you an example. Some people can easily see the aura. They are looking at a physical person or plant or whatever, but not directly with their eye. They let their attention be on the object, but not that the eye is focused on the object. The eye is just relaxed, not necessarily focused on it, where the consciousness also must see the physical object. But they relax that requirement of vision. And they allow all of the various energy transmissions, be they photons of light or energetic waves, to come to them, because they have reprogrammed the brain to accept that perception on the level of energy rather than simply the typical translation of that which the retina sees when it receives photons. So they allow all of the information, or at least that which they intend, to be read by the retina, or perhaps even by expanded sense. And they reprogram the brain to process it on other levels as well. And so they see the aura as an image. In other words, the aura, when we look at it in terms of colors, is most significant as a image. In other words, we're trying to see it in its color, coloration, in its homogeneity, and so on. So it's important that it has a quote-unquote visual component, because we associate colors with a visual image. Now, I am not restricting a color to a visual image, because as a musician, okay, I'm not a great musician, but still, as a musician, as somebody who is attuned to the sound, for me, I see color as having a sound element to it, or a audio element to it. But even more powerfully, I hear the colors when I play music. I can be playing music, and even though it may sound with the ear to be correct, in other words, the tones are okay, the rhythm is okay, but if the color is not okay, I'm not happy with it. And it won't feel good to me, and it won't feel good to the audience, because for me, that music has a sound element to it. That music also has a tangible feeling to it, where it will impact me on a certain level. So as the senses expand, as the senses, in other words, as the original energy of perception expands, or even more importantly, as we allow it to expand, as we allow it to be what it is, rather than restricting it to that which we normally, throughout our lives, have defined it to be, then this perception expands enormously. Now, it has been posited, it has been presented that the spiritual world is characterized by a sensuality that is homogeneous. That means that there is no need to separate a visual experience from one that is oral, A-U-R-A-L, in the ear, as compared to a feeling or whatever. That the perception that one has includes all of the senses at once. In other words, the sensuality is homogeneous. It is not compartmentalized, where I hear this now, and now I can't concentrate on what I'm tasting. And if I concentrate on what I'm tasting, I can't concentrate on what I'm seeing. This is a reason why you shouldn't sit in front of a movie with a bag of popcorn. Because if you're absorbed in the movie, then you're just stuffing your face with popcorn. You have no connection really to eating. It's just a mechanical motion. And basically it's the salt which you're eating. Salt and fat. Those people who make food know that if you mix salt, sugar, and fat in a product, people cannot stop eating it. Because these three ingredients, for one who's not conscious, and who is, one who's not conscious when they're eating will simply have an involuntary reaction to continue to eat. Because fat, salt, and sugar in the same food creates an irresistible chemical combination on the tongue that is translated to the brain as pleasurable. And so one continues to eat. Scientifically proven. Same food with these three things, same food without these three things. Completely different experience. So, if you sit in front of the TV and you're just stuffing your face, either you are eating and not watching, or you are watching and unconsciously eating, but you can't do both properly at once. You can't eat and talk. That's why in the Buddhist monasteries, when they sit to eat, they call it respect of the food. Doesn't matter what you call it. It means that when you're eating, you eat. You are concerned with the food, not with talking, looking, thinking elsewhere. But you are concerned with eating. When you are eating, you're eating. You're concentrated. You're focused. When you're seeing, you're seeing. When you're acting, you're acting. Because that brings your consciousness to the moment. Now, we have to do like that because of our bodily limitations. Or rather, I would say, the limitation of the brain. Because, as you know, by rapidly moving here and there between your sensory perceptions, you can very rapidly focus on a smell, a taste, a touch, a seeing, a hearing. You can do all of that very rapidly, even instantaneously move from one to the other. But you can basically do one at a time. You can also try to do two at a time. Feeling, hearing. Add a third. Feeling, hearing, seeing. At that point, it becomes very complex. This is a problem of the brain, not of the body. The body is sending signals all the time. The nerves are made in such a way that they are continuously feeding the brain with signals. Continuously feeding the brain with impulses. And it is the brain's capacity, or lack of it, that creates a bottleneck. Almost like all of this information is trying to squeeze through a little pipe in the brain. Maybe it's a limitation of the nerves themselves, but I don't think so. I think it's a limitation of the capacity of the brain to process all of this at the same time. You can train it to have more awareness. You can practice trying doing two things at once. Perceiving two things at once. You can practice that. And when you've got that pretty well down, add a third. That's tough. That's very hard. But when you are able to do three, try to do four. I mean, this is not easy things. These are not easy things. This is very complex, difficult work because the brain is not programmed that way. The brain is programmed basically to do one thing at a time. Multitasking came to computers long ago. The brain multitasks, sure, it does a lot of unconscious stuff. But we also have that vegetative brain, which just has all things going on subconsciously. It just happens automatically, even unconsciously, even when you're in a coma. It keeps working. It creates the heartbeat. It creates the breathing. It creates all kinds of functions in the body automatically. Autonomic nervous system, it's called, vegetative nervous system. It just happens automatically. But there's a part, the consciousness that uses the brain is only using a very small portion of our brain. Very small portion of our brain. And that small portion has to be cultivated. It has to be cultivated so that we can learn to do more than one thing at a time. Again, I said do. To perceive more than one thing at a time. And when we do that, we open up more areas of the brain. In other words, when you do one thing at a time, that one part of the brain, it may flow, will be activated generically. When you do two or three, I keep saying do, what is wrong with me? When you perceive two or three, more areas of the brain are activated. And you activate also areas which have never been activated before to create the pathway by which these multiple perceptions may be brought together in a new experience. You know, just like we make an us. There's you, there's me. We come together. We join. We become an us, which is an entity that transcends either entity. It's a third being. Similarly, when you perceive multiple things at once, from multiple platforms at once, it creates within the brain, when the brain has that pathway open, when those passageways are there, and the energy is flowing into these areas which are generally untapped, we create a new perception. In other words, that three perceptions at once create a totally new form of perception. Because when you perceive three things at once, the what it is you are perceiving seems quite different than when you only see it in one way. It translates very differently. When you get to all five, I mean, if you really wish to do such a thing, you will be able to perceive in the exact way in which perception takes place by those who are most evolved. In other words, right here, right now, you have the full capacity of the spiritual form. Now, spiritual form is a misnomer. It's an attempt to relate, or it's an attempt to understand simply the nature of our energy when it's optimally functioning. Because right now, our energy is functioning in the same way. It's just that we have chosen to limit it in the same way we limit our senses to see or to taste only singularly. It's our choice. But the energy is exactly the same. It's not that the energy is different. Someone may call it purified, but that's not really the point. It's not a purification. It's a utilization of it. Because when we're speaking about perception, if we actually know what we're speaking about, we're not talking about physical senses. We're talking about the process, the processing in the brain and the mind. And simply by processing in an expanded way, we are realizing our natural capacity. I don't care what you call it, but in reality, this is what's happening. So when one expands one's capacity and is able to consciously utilize that, then that person's awareness is of the highest evolved nature. After all, that is how we, when we do it, when we perceive the deities, that's how we do it. We experience with expanded senses. We are seeing and feeling and hearing and at least three at once when we are connected to the deities. When we are feeling the divine energy, when we're feeling the divine beings. And that is an energy that is beyond the body. Beyond, it is expanded awareness. Even though we feel it in the body, even though we're still physically there, but we have expanded our awareness and experiencing now that expansion. This is that spiritual thing people wish to attain, but it's not something separate from me. It's not something I will get later on. It's not something that somebody hands to me, or when I have done enough, I earn it and I get it or I take it. It's an expansion of what I already am. Now, if you wish to use the word purify, you have trouble, because that's another misnomer. In the sense that purify means you've got dirt you've got to scrub away. But if you remember when you connect to the divine through the meditative process and you expand that sensual capacity, dirt has no... It has no meaning or influence or significance. It doesn't enter into the equation. Whatever it is that's there in this, what we call physical, quote-unquote, material existence, is simply not part of the equation. It's not an active ingredient. So, in fact, purification or cleansing is not really a significant feature or an important one. What's more important is the expanded capacities for perception, because it just steps beyond the limited situation we're in. It's an expanded perception, expanded awareness, expanded consciousness, whereby one may perceive the divine directly. Just sit. Just be relaxed. Allow the divine energy to just connect to you. Just feel it. Allow it to flow to you. Feel it. It's a form of experience which transcends instantly the idea that you're not good enough, the idea that you're impure, the idea that you're bad. All of these are the illusions. The illusions that have no connection to us in reality. The illusions that you can just drop away, set aside, at will, using your consciousness, at will. This is a very wonderful capacity that all of us have. And it can be cultivated by exercising the consciousness to reprogram the brain so that our capacity to experience multiple perceptions and cause them to create a union within us, a homogeneous new experience that is now seen no longer two-dimensionally, but three-dimensionally, four-dimensionally, five-dimensionally, where dimensional awareness increases because of seeing it at the same time from multiple points of view, multiple points of perception. And that is all happening in our energy, so that we may connect to the divine. We may connect to Radha, Krishna, God, or devas, or nature, or other people, or whatever we like. It is an art. It is a discipline. It is not difficult, but it is not ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's, let's say, extra sensory in the sense that this new perception is within the context of expanded energetic awareness. In other words, as we expand our awareness, the energy of perception becomes more obvious. In other words, we connect. Our energy expands accordingly to its nature as we make these links. And then when our energy expands and our perception is widened, extrasensory perception becomes easy. Psychic capacity, communicative abilities, hearing. None of this is a mystery. It's not hidden. It's obvious. One simply has to step into it by desire. That one says, I wish to do this now. And one does it. And the energy expands accordingly. So this heightened awareness is natural. It is our natural state. I think this is something that would define that intensity of the last week. That that buffeting of energy. Actually, buffeting is different. It's like a wind which hits you. It's a force. But anyway, it is something which causes us to see differently. And if we are aware of it seeing differently, the force of it seeing differently, we flow with that because it's a good time to do it. And if we resist it, we just get shaken up and thrown around and we feel awful. I have seen that it causes me to be more concerned with the fundamental activities which characterize what I am. I'm trying to expand the capacity of this broadcast because we're getting more and more listeners regularly. I'm expanding the server. I'm expanding the way in which we present these materials. Trying to deal with that which is my core. I'm a core communicator, core networker. To express my experience with the desire to be of service, to help others get there rapidly. That's my core activity, to ultimately have you stand face to face with the divine and have whatever relationship you have in love. So this methodology has become more and more my focus. I don't see any reason to do anything else. Now, I feel that is compatible with this energy, compatible with the cosmic arrangements. In other words, it's bringing me more to me, making me more what I am rather than what others are or others think I should be or what the world is trying to push us to be. And as we become more of what we are, our capacity to be what we are expands. I see those two things being linked. You cannot have that expanded capacity of awareness to link multiple sensual perceptions or whatever, and at the same time, try to be something you're not. Try to be something else than what you are. I don't see that as possible, because once that occurs, you've lost connection to self. You're no longer true to yourself. You're no longer connected with your being. So your capacity reduces accordingly to some singular monochromatic expression. Very boring. I don't mean to say you don't care about others. You don't do things for others. You don't make sacrifices even for others. That does not mean you become less of what you are. Because after all, these are persons you love. When you are doing things for people you love, that's an expression of your love. That's an expression of self. Love and self are not different. And I will leave you with that thought.